Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Welcome to The Hang, folks. In this episode, I'm joined by my two friends, Darren and Andrew, otherwise known as DNA, the double act who are effectively mind readers. Millions across the UK and the world saw them blow everyone away with their mind-reading act at their first audition on Britain's Got Talent, including Simon Cowell and Alicia Dixon, the judges. They have what is called the gift. In their bio, it says, by combining intuitive psychoanalysis with a unique ability of telepathic thought transference, DNA will read your mind as accurately as you can read words from a page. Folks, believe it. I have seen it and experienced it myself. It's as fascinating as it is frustrating, as it is frightening. I've known Darren for many years now and subsequently got to know Andrew. What I love about them is that they're not only talented and inspiring, but they are all around great guys and each have incredible personalities with boatloads of charisma. They are the type of friends you want in your life.
That's a great intro.
It's on the recording. Welcome. Too.
Well, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
I am hanging today with, well, what do you guys call yourselves? I'm not going to say magician.
I'd like
magicians.
To say a friend first.
Of course, friends.
Well, I'd like to say confidant. Friend first.
Confidants, my advisors, my fitness trainers.
But not quite.
But you guys are?
DNA.
No, I know your DNA, but... I don't want to say magician. You are mind readers. You are illusionists.
A mind reading double act.
Illusionists of the mind, yeah.
Illusionists of the mind, DNA, my good friends, Darren Sarsby and Andrew Murray.
You had to check the pronunciation of Murray, didn't you?
Murray.
You're not going to get away with any.
Andrew Murray. As you travel the world, you become more posh. Darren Sarsby and Aaron and Andrew Murray.
You're never going to be posh, bro.
Never.
Never.
How are you, man? How long has it been since... was it New York I last saw you guys?
It can't be New York.
No.
Oh, no. We opened for you at the Festival Hall, didn't we?
Festival Hall.
My brain is fried.
Yeah. Yes.
That was
you remembered.
A year.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a year ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
No, longer than a year.
Well, it's been... 2018, right? Start of 2018, wasn't it?
Is that when we did Festival Hall?
Yeah, January 2018.
Why does that feel so long ago? It's
well,
only
it's
two years.
2 years ago.
That's not that long.
You don't think so?
No.
A lot can change in 2 years.
My brain's getting fried. I don't know if it's all the travel or age. I'm hoping it's just because I've been busy.
I think it's a bit of both, probably.
I can't believe I'm actually here with Dr. Kian Madani right here, right now. I can't believe it. I've actually got a bit of an ailment. Can you see to me?
I'll have a look afterwards. Yeah. You don't watch it.
I have watched it. Of course I have. You're one of my best friends. Of course I'd watch it.
No, you don't.
I swear on my life I've watched a few episodes.
When I used to post it on Instagram, that's as much as you've seen it.
I have
my
seen
clips.
Episodes. I've seen you arguing on there.
Okay.
Yeah, in surgery.
And how do we first meet? Let's go right in.
Okay. So this is Darren talking, by the way. We met at the gym, didn't we? And... one of my friends who was a trainer, who was also your trainer, mm-hmm. told me that you were the Prince of Egypt.
Wow, back in the day.
And I said, oh, you can't be the Prince of Egypt because he'd have bodyguards. And he was like, no, they're downstairs. I was like, all right. And then we got chatting a bit more and he was like, oh no, I'm actually the Phantom of the Opera. I was like, yeah, of course you are. And then you are.
But here's the thing. The whole Prince of Egypt thing, didn't that go on for a couple of days? I forgot to close the gag.
You didn't. I just thought you were the Prince of Egypt.
And then we just became mates. And then after like 3 days, I was like, oh shit, we haven't...
Yeah, yeah. I'm actually the Phantom of the Opera. And I was like, yeah, of course you are.
We haven't closed the gag though. I forgot the whole wind-up.
Are you actually the Prince of Egypt or not? Because I still don't actually know.
No. I'm sorry to tell you.
He's now the king.
But we don't talk about that. We don't like to talk about that. And I first met you, Andrew, on FaceTime. And you did a mind illusion.
That's
on
right.
Me.
That's right. Yeah, you that's were right. driving with Darren.
So what we do is a telepathy act, right? I mean, we call it the gift. So we get people to think of things and reveal what they are. And I remember we were going to the gym together. You were in my car, FaceTime.
No, we were going to see something Orange was in the back.
No, this was that was after.
That was after.
That was
yeah,
after.
Yeah.
You knew
it was definitely you and Darren.
And I remember you thought of was it?
Well, wait, before you say it, where do we do this? Because
we were
Andrew was on FaceTime
in my car or your car. I can't remember.
Oh yes,
now your
and
car, Darren.
I would have been stationary. I wouldn't have driven and FaceTimed.
No,
let's put
that's
out there.
Right. And it was in your car. And we okay. Now I remember. And this is what still blows my mind. And to this day, I still don't know how. I can't even fathom how it works. But you told me to think of someone famous.
That's right. Yep.
You FaceTime Andrew. Mm-hmm. You just.
But Darren said, I asked you to think of somebody. Yep. You've got somebody in mind. Don't say who it is. And I went.
And I tell you now.
The audience can't see what Andrew's doing. Andrew just closed his eyes.
That was a dramatic pose, which I'm going to reenact for everyone. I closed my eyes in deep concentration, and then I revealed the name, which was...
Hang on, he looked like a Buddha. If he was his old weight, he would have looked like a Buddha just now.
That's a slightly, a slimline Buddha
now.
Yeah,
slimline Buddha.
Yeah, we'll get on that, because you both have like shed so many pounds since I've last seen
you. Yeah, we have, yeah.
Okay, but in going back to the illusion, did... I tell you who I was thinking of before.
You told me who you were thinking of. Yes. Yeah. So the telepathy.
And then you FaceTimed. So
exactly.
There was yeah.
But there was no text message
or
anything like that.
I was there. I was because the moment I told you, I'm like, okay, at some point, I don't want any, you know, like what's up your sleeve.
And you thought
so
of Gorbachev, didn't you?
Mikhail Gorbachev.
That's right. So it's quite an unusual celebrity to think of.
But what blew my mind was we were on FaceTime maybe less than three minutes.
Oh,
and
way less
and
than that.
And you got it.
Way less than that. Yeah. I mean, that would have been the whole conversation of introducing him to you and stuff. I mean, what we do is real time. It's quick.
You hardly spoke to Andrew.
That's right.
Unbelievable.
That's what we do.
Telepathy.
So it's
the
because
power of the mind.
It's because of that we wanted to.
That was Murray, by the way.
We wanted to go on a platform that could showcase our talent to as many people as possible, which is why we did Britain's Got Talent in 2017.
How many times did I tell you to do that?
I know.
Maybe like 2 years before that. I'm like, why aren't you going on that show? You're like, nah.
You know, the thing is, we had thought about going on it before, and there's loads of people that kind of said, hey, you should do it. And we just never felt that the timing was right. And actually, looking back, the year we did it probably was the best timing for us.
Right.
Like, if we'd have done that previously, I don't think we'd have come over as well as we did. Probably wouldn't have reached the final. We were going to do it. We were really serious about it in 2016. And for one reason or another, we didn't do it. And actually, looking back, I'm pleased we didn't.
Sometimes fate just saves you from the wrong decisions, right?
Yeah.
How did you guys meet?
Well, we had a massive... But going back to that, actually, we had a massive, massive argument. We'll talk about this a bit later if you want, about conflict and passion, right? And sometimes two go hand in hand. We had a massive argument that year we didn't do Britain's Got Talent because one of my friends, Dynamo, had his show in Cardiff. So I'd booked a hotel and I was going and spending the evening there and all that. It was a big deal to me to go and watch him in
although
the arena.
He had seen him sort of like a week before doing the same show somewhere else. So that's where there was this conflict.
But
it was
anyway,
like the last opportunity for us to go and do one of the auditions.
I didn't feel we were prepared anyway.
Yeah, and we weren't. And like I said, when I look back at it, I'm so pleased we didn't sort of like
You guys fell out?
Yeah.
Well, we fall out. We just had
It was a few months actually of us kind of...
Thinking it was over?
Well, not really. I mean...
And we didn't have a fallout where we weren't talking. We're going to have a fallout now. Come then.
It did affect our relationship, though.
Yeah, it did.
Definitely did.
It did.
Yeah.
But obviously, looking back now, it affected it in a positive way because a tight relationship that's, you know, real and has deep foundations will go through those moments.
Always. And we've had many moments like that, to be fair. Because we're both passionate about what we do, but we've both got our own opinion.
Yeah, and you're both artists, and you're both creating something, so you're going to bump heads.
Yeah, and we do. And what we've learned to do, and we probably do better now than we ever have, we can have sort of like those inflame moments where we're both passionate and we're both having an argument and we're both set in our ways and I refuse to listen to what he says and he refuses to listen to what I say and we'll have a big bust up and then we'll get on the phone 15 minutes later and it's all forgotten. And that's the best way to get over it. Can't dwell on it. We've had our moment. We've said our piece. And now we just need to get on.
Man, I think a lot of people need to take that advice and just...
Yeah, it's not easy. We've learned.
It's hard letting go, for sure.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, I think when you're passionate about something and you want something to succeed, it's sometimes the lines are blurred between you know, what's reasonable and what isn't reasonable. Mm-hmm. See what I mean? And your tolerances for things as well.
Yeah, and then if you obviously as artists, there's inevitably ego involved. Not necessarily a bad thing, but you have to have an ego to be an artist, I think. And if that gets in the way, it makes you a bit stubborn.
And you get caught up in the moment, you know. Everything I say at that moment, I think he's right, and Darren's exactly the same. But actually, with a little bit of reflection, I can maybe accept what he's saying and let go of what I'm saying a little bit more if I think about where he's coming from.
Right.
And vice versa.
That's amazing. Where did you guys meet? What's with the look on your face, Darren?
So we always change the story, so I don't know whether to tell a real story or the... It's normally like, oh, we met in prison or, you know, we met...
Well, why didn't you tell the... I want to hear one of the fake stories, so, but then I'm thinking, do I start with the true story and then take one of the fake ones? Why don't you tell me, and then I'll decide whether that was real or not.
Okay, so we originally met during the Battle of Agincourt, and what?
You've seen the film Highlander, right?
No.
Okay, you need to watch that. Then this will give a lot more perspective to the stories.
Basically, we're immortal. So Andrew's 842, and I'm 613 at the moment.
So you're looking great for it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
No alcohol? What is it? What's the secret? You vegans?
No alcohol. No, just alcohol-free.
Nivea face cream, yeah. Other brands available.
Yes.
What's another story about how you met?
Well, that's the truth. So one of the fake stories is we met at an event, actually.
Really?
Yes, fake, though.
I was a guest at an event, and the fake part of it is Darren was a performer at the event.
Apparently so. Mm-hmm.
Apparently. And he came up and went, your name's Andrew Murray.
I was Murray.
Like, Murray. Murray. And I was like... yeah, and who are you? And we just kind of got talking, did a bit of magic.
Then became friends, then enemies.
Mortal enemies,
yeah.
And here you are.
Here we are,
yeah.
Yeah. How are you? How's life for you?
Life is great. I'm with you guys. That's why I'm happy.
So good to see you, man. See, I've spent so many years, you know, in your life and seen you at the high points, at the low points, and... the good, the bad, the in-between, everything. With your children, your family.
You were there at a real low point at one point.
I know, man.
Love you, brother.
I love you as well. You've been there for me. When I had no one else to turn to, I turned to you.
Thanks, man. I know I'm pretty shitty.
I feel that there's a song coming on.
Go on, sing it for us.
Night time.
No, I was going more like, you were my strength when I was weak.
Go on.
I can't remember the rest of the lyrics.
But I want to go back to DNA. Hang on. So you guys got together. You're 800, you're 600 years old. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You guys decide to put this act together. Did you know you wanted to do a mental illusion act or wanted to do something?
I think the thing is we kind of had a notion of the kind of act we wanted to do. We just didn't know how to do it. So we kind of created it from the ground up. We completely invented... if we could do something, what would it look like? It would look like this in theory. Okay, how do we achieve that now? And it was a labor of love. We've put in thousands and thousands and thousands of hours trying to make what we do seem completely effortless. I think that's the truth of it.
And we're very, very lucky. You know, it takes us all over the world. So we did a county fair in America last year, and your brother came and saw us. He drove over from Canada.
Yeah.
Your brother came over.
That. Yeah.
So we're very, very lucky. We get to perform everywhere, all over the world, and meet amazing people. And
how many stops in America did you do?
We did a county fair, so it was kind of like
the one.
Yeah, just one county fair.
Flew out just for that.
Just for that.
And there's my your big brother, hairy brother.
Your big hairy brother came down, drove all the way down from Canada to see us, and we spent the evening with
him. It was great.
So
he was
good.
A lovely guy.
Yeah,
really nice family. Yeah, it was great.
Heck of a beard on him, eh?
He looks great.
I keep telling him that beard needs its own Instagram.
Yeah, and his tooth.
That he's got a lack
missing.
Of.
Yeah. I was like, "What happened to your tooth? It's got a tooth missing."
Yeah. I've never seen an Iranian look like such a redneck. My brother is original redneck Iranian.
He really is
amazing.
He really is.
Yeah.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUPS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater Get your tickets today at SuffsMusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
So, when you were doing Britain's Got Talent, how nervous were you on that to know, okay, you're about to go live?
Mm.
That the stakes quickly jumped up.
Okay, so we always say doing a show like Britain's Got Talent is effectively putting your neck on a chopping block and saying to everyone, here, take a swing, right? Because you're not in control of it. It's not your own platform. You're going on another show against other talent and being judged. So we had an idea. Obviously, we developed this thing called The Gift, which is our version of telepathy. Mm-hmm. And then we went and met the producers and they were like, we love it, but how can you turn it into a piece of theatre? And that's how we came up with the T-shirt change. Mm-hmm. And we designed effectively an act that we rehearsed and practiced over months, really. We got it to the point where all we had to do was worry about our nerves. Every word, every action, every move, everything we needed to do on stage, we'd practice and rehearse. It was second nature. We just had to worry about the nerves.
And I think when you go into something like that, you can have one of two approaches. You either go in and say, I'm going to let nerves get the better of me, or I'm just going to kind of put a front on and forget about the nerves. Either way, when they call your name, you have to step onto that stage and perform. So you've got a decision to make. And the conscious decision was, I'm not going to be nervous. And if I am, I'm going to try to keep it under wraps. I'm going to put everything to the front of my mind and the nerves as far to the back of my mind. Step forward, best foot forward, and do my best. And it worked out for us.
How proud were you when you knew after that first episode, we just presented one of our creations for the nation, and you guys were spot on with it. You talk about nerves. I remember saying to Mandy, I'm like, the way they're handling themselves, I feel like you guys had such control of that room, of that time. You were drawing us in. It was so, so brilliantly done.
I mean, it was probably the proudest moment, you know, professionally speaking, certainly to that point, that we've ever had. Because like you said, we were doing something that we'd created. And I just remember that moment of finishing the act and everyone in the London Palladium standing on their feet, applauding. And I like looked at Darren and I just thought to myself, and I looked out at the audience and I thought, capture that moment and log it in your mind, because there's very few acts that have had this, will ever have this, and we may never get it again. So it's in there, and it was just amazing.
You could see that in your eyes when that was happening too.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy? Like, I feel very, very lucky with friends in my life, and I'm friends with people for them, not for who they are or what they offer.
Thank you, Darren.
Yeah. So obviously, bro, I was your friend. I was chatting to you and becoming friends with you even before I knew what you did, and when you were in Phantom, I used to come and just sit backstage. And when you were in Love Never Dies, we used to mess around with the mask. And we've had so much fun over the years, right? So much fun. And like we were on the road together on your tour. I've seen you, you know, sell out the London Palladium and stuff. So in a way, I've kind of a bit desensitized to success in a way. Not in a bad way, but I've got friends of mine that have proven to me and shown me that anything is possible. So when it was me on that stage and they're applauding me, it really was surreal. It really, really was. Like, I had watched you in your show at the London Palladium with Ramin Karimloo, you know, at the London Palladium, watch you sell a show out there. And I remember I was taking like Instagram videos of you and zooming in on your face with dog filters on, just because you're my friend and I'm having a laugh. But really, it's such an incredible achievement. And reaching that point myself was kind of a bit of a, I suppose it makes me appreciate what my friends have done even more.
Well, you guys aren't shallow people. You guys are real. And I think that's why...
I'm not. Andrew is.
You're not real. Okay,
fine. No, shallow.
No, you said it.
I think that's what people find endearing about you and you know, I think you can have all the talent in the world, but when you're doing what you're doing, it's different, I guess, if you're a movie star, you're very separated, but you guys are connecting with people and people want to feel part of something. They want to feel not alienated either. And I think your personalities.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question, because obviously, like, we're here and all of your listeners will be interested in you, and I know you're here listening to us, but I want to get your perspective on this.
And let's be honest, there could be only five people listening.
That's fine. I'm down.
Up to five.
Up to five.
Up to five, yeah.
And three of them will be us.
What I want to ask you is, how have you found interaction with people that want a piece of you? So for us, I'll give you an example. We were very overweight, and obviously we'll talk about it a bit later. We put on a lot more weight after the show. But when we did the show, we thought, oh, online, everyone's going to be talking about the weight. Everyone's going to be sort of going, oh, look at those two fat bastards or whatever, right? But they didn't. We had like one guy in Australia that was kind of like trolling us online.
What?
Yeah. He's like an old guy, and his picture was him at a fruit machine in a pub, you know, gambling. And we're just like, and everything's like, you two fat slobs. Look at you two fat slobs. So we just blocked him. But how do you find when, you know, when we...
You fat slobs. He just keeps typing that.
We're sharing this mental anguish, yes. And he's just laughing.
Well, thank you, doctor.
It's so outrageous.
Often people, whenever we go and do a performance, we meet people after the show, they want a piece of us. They want to talk to us or put their arms around us or something, which is fine. It's all lovely. But how do you cope with that? Because you get it on a scale that I've never...
Yeah, it's completely really, different.
It's completely
scale.
Different, but that's my question to
so
you.
So we remember when we did the show with you at Royal Festival Hall, you came outside. There were hundreds, if not thousands, I don't know, but loads of people all wanting a photo with you and to touch you, and they were all waiting outside. How do you deal with that? I guess it goes hand in hand with what you do.
If I'm honest, I have more anxiety about stuff like that now. I always say to Mandy every now and then, I'm like, when I'm on stage with a band or in a performance or in a production show, yeah, I want to be the man. I want to, you know, and I want to give the audience everything I have. Once that curtain comes down, I'm finding more and more, especially as I get older, I go more into myself. I get nervous. I get very uncomfortable at those sort of, the idea of that crowd thing, which it's flipped, right? You know, it's, wow, that support is amazing. But I've learned to not be apologetic about taking care of myself. So on tour now, we've stopped even having friends and family backstage, let alone...
Apart from if I was there.
Well, we can't stop you.
I just barge past security. I do.
Because we need to take care of ourselves when we're on the road.
I've got a badge. I'm allowed through.
When we're on the road...
You have actually said to me before, how'd you get back here?
I have. So I think it was in Phantom. I'm like, they don't know we're friends. Where's the security?
I'm sitting in your dressing room.
You were there before I got there. And then I just figured, I'm not apologetic, but we have to take care of our health. We have...
Mental health, right?
Yeah, especially mental health. And when we're on the road, and I'm on the road a lot, and with my kids, my stress about being away from the kids and Mandy, no one knows that part of me, and I will not share that part of me.
It's private.
So it's hard to put on a front, but then you have to, because I don't want people to know that side of things, because it's private, as you say. So now
it's okay to have those opinions and feelings about yourself, and that, you know, you're protecting yourself. I think that's okay.
100%, because I would hate to try and please everyone all the time, and then the work suffers. Because the people,
or you suffer.
Yeah. I also know if I'm on a 10-stop tour or 8-6 shows a week for a long contract, the audience who are coming the next night who have paid the same amount, mm-hmm. they want to know they're going to get the best of me as well.
Yeah.
So those are my priorities first.
Yeah.
Then if there's room left over, there's time, there's space to do that, and I feel good and I feel comfortable, then I'll then you kind of give a bit more where you can. But if I can't, I can't. And I'm not sorry about trying to be the best I can for what you're paying for.
Do you know what's funny? So when I'll tell the listeners this, all three of them, when Ramin opened the door for us here, he was like, oh, I'm sorry, man, I've been a bit shit on the phone. I know that about you and it doesn't bother me. I think, you know, I know how busy you are now, how much pressure you got on you. That kind of, not lack of contact, but, you know, let's say I messaged you and you didn't get back to me, or it wouldn't be, if it was anything important, I know you'd be there for me, like, straight away. But mm-hmm. if it's just, hey, how are you? You prioritise your time, and I just respect that. And it does, it's not a problem. And that's why we've been friends for, what, I don't know, 12, 15 years? I don't know how long we've been friends for. Yeah. And there's a few moments I look back on in your career, especially.
13 years, brother.
Is it 13?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. That's amazing. A few things that I remember. So when we were in Love Never Dies.
What part did you play, Darren? Just remind
actually,
us.
Actually, my mask was in it once. Yes.
I wore it.
You wore the mask on stage. Barry.
I did.
Yeah. I had this silly old man mask that I used to wear for fun, and Ramin was obsessed with it.
When you say you used to wear for fun.
I've still got one, but it's right, not the same. Okay, good. It's not the same.
I have one.
You got one?
Yeah.
I remember the last ever show, like me, Mandy, I don't think you were in the dressing room, but it was
for
like
the very last show.
Were you in the dressing room?
I was, yeah. Okay. When we looked out the window, yeah, and okay. all the people. Yeah, oh, it was the very last show.
That was great.
So
that
I've
was
got
amazing.
A video of that on my
Police
phone.
Police and ambulance had to come.
So I've got a video there. Of that on my phone still. Oh,
you got to get me a copy of that.
I've yeah. got a photo of Shall me sh- and you
I'm gonna show
in
you
your
right
dressing
now.
Room. I'm going to find it as well.
I'm going to show you that.
While you're looking up, to kind of...
What year was that?
2010, I think.
Okay.
When we finished Love Never Dies, or 11. 11, 2011. To go back to what you said, is how do I handle stuff like that? I've just learned to...
You protect yourself.
Yeah.
So basically, what I'm getting at is there's been some moments in your career that have been a part of my life that I look back and I'm like, how on earth did you deal with that? And I'm about to show you a video.
Oh, as you say, this will fit in perfectly. I've learned to... It's okay not to be available all the time.
And that's okay.
And that's whether it's stage dooring, whether it's phone calls, whether it's work, whether it's interviews.
Okay, I'm about to remain this video. You probably haven't seen this since then. Right.
August 27th, 2011. That's from my dressing room window. You can still see some of the phantom glue on my face. Man, that looks crazy out there.
It's crazy,
like,
right?
Amazing.
So it's like, this is what I wanted to say. Like, people don't see this side, but I'm in your dressing room with your family, and we're chatting, relaxing, we're having like champagne, I think, or whatever we were doing, mm-hmm. just being with you. And then all of a sudden, we go up, look out the window, and you've got thousands of people like screaming. They just want to get a glimpse of you. And then what we used to do is, I know sometimes I would stand with you for like, you know, for the stage door thing to have a laugh and stuff, but often I would just go off and kind of let you get on, and then you'd meet us later or something. And it is such a, it's a different side. People don't, you're not just a performer, are you? You are something that people want a piece of in some way, whether it's a photo or an autograph or to give you a gift or a letter or to tell you their story at how you've affected them. So, you know, I look, from what I've been through, I've had it on such a tiny surface level compared to what you've gone through. But I really, sitting here now, like documenting it, I just want to say, like, I'm you know, really, really proud of you, and also like very inspired by your strength to be able to cope with that.
Oh, mate, thank you. And look, at the end of the day, all that is just, people are supporting. They're there to kind of like, you know, they were supporting the show and what hopefully I was doing as well. But to go back to like that night in question, I don't have any commitments after that night. So I had more to give and more to play. But if we had a show the next night, I probably would be like, I gotta go. And I'd be a bit nervous knowing like how much energy I have. Well, night like that, you can...
In New York, when we came to see you on Broadway in Les Mis, you would meet us somewhere else because you would go out a different door just because the pressure is, you know, was too much for you, right?
On some nights, I'd rather...
The show's finished, you need to worry about the next show.
Yeah, of course. And if I feel under the weather or super tired, then I would rather just have the stage management or stage doorkeeper just to give a message that, you know, Ramin won't be coming out tonight or has already gone home, and go out another door and not, I don't know, it's that balance of if I do come out that door, then I'm there to kind of say hello, 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 hello.
But that could last hours.
Yeah.
And that's why I totally respect, and you know, I think probably people don't realise. They think, oh, why is he not coming out? And they take it personally, right? But it's not personal, is it?
Well, that's down to them and their baggage or their expectations. You know, I don't have any expectations. I don't expect anyone to wait for me.
Mm.
You know, so it's not like if I come out one night, no one's there. I'll be like, where is everyone? I want to get my autograph. So I can't get mad at that either. So it's sort of like, look, I appreciate everyone. But, you know, if I have to go home to FaceTime my kid or catch him before school, if our time difference or whatever, I'm going to do that. And I'm not sorry about that.
Yeah.
Cool. How are you fitting in with your, how's your training going at the moment?
A lot better. You know, I injured my neck last year, but now I'm getting back. I got my weight back up and I feel good. I feel good.
It's great, man.
So DNA,
mm-hmm.
you guys got tours coming up? Because I know after there was a crazy time after the show, like you said, a lot of management wanted part of you, but then they want a part of you, but they don't have a plan for you.
That was basically the story, yeah.
Yeah. So, but now you guys have been through that. Are you in control of your own sort of brand now?
Yeah, pretty much we're in control of it. I mean, in terms of touring, we did a 24 dates UK tour last year. We haven't got a tour that's imminent, but we are
in talks.
Yeah, in talks and trying to plan the next tour. But we pretty much, masters of our own destiny? I mean, you know, we try to navigate as best as we can what we're doing. Yeah, and
we support some amazing charities. We go and perform at events all over the world. We're doing something with Stephen Fry at the end of this month with Prostate Cancer UK. We're doing something with Jimmy Carr, aren't we, in a couple of months?
Yeah.
We got loads of really exciting things, really exotic locations and, you know, just do what we dreamt up in our minds. It's crazy.
And how active are you guys as DNA on social media? Do you guys do things... Are you still not that active?
You know what? We are so bad,
so bad
at social media. Like, literally, we spend more time talking about how bad we are than actually spending time being creative and doing stuff. However...
At dnamindreaders.com. At dnamindreaders.
Yeah. However, we are going to be a lot more active on there, and we are just about to start up on TikTok.
TikTok.
Come on, you have to be... You guys... This is the kind of content where social media is great for.
And you're absolutely right.
I'm sure TikTok is definitely... Okay, first of all, for the last month, I've been calling it tic-tac-toe. So what are you on TikTok?
My one's Darren Sarsby. That's just my one. So we haven't actually got a DNA one yet.
But it will be DNA Mind Readers.
Literally, let me explain.
Do you have that or can someone else take it?
By the time this goes out...
Nobody else will take it. We'll have it by the time.
Yeah. Unless you take it, yeah,
take it right now.
Sell it to us. I went on TikTok yesterday, mm-hmm. right, or a couple of days ago. I uploaded a video last night of my friend doing a silly dance. It's had, by the time I got into this office, since last night, it's had 110,000 views on it.
What? Just for dancing?
Just silly.
You didn't splice anything or like
no, not
any
at all.
Editing?
Darren's not even on the video.
I'll show it to you.
He's not.
I'm not even on the video. It's my friend. Okay, so TikTok's all about... dancing and viral trends and stuff, right? So people copy, they sample your sounds and then they make their own versions of it, right? So it's all sort of like silly dance moves and stuff. And I'm not really qualified to explain it, but I understand it slightly. People put out content and then if people find it funny and engaging, they will then sample the sound
right.
and put up their own one. So I searched Ramin Karimloo on there and you've got stuff on TikTok, people miming along to your voice and stuff. I swear to you, I promise.
On TikTok?
On TikTok. Yeah, I promise. So basically, there's one dance where you basically do these silly things with your arms, right?
And everyone knows this dance?
Everyone knows.
It's the same move?
Yeah, it's the same
move. It's a TikTok dance?
Right? TikTok dance, right?
It's called the TikTok dance?
No, I don't know what it's called, but it's one of the dances on TikTok, right?
But it's been used all the time?
It's been used all the time, like literally thousands and thousands of times.
So
right?
If I wanted to dance it to a Mumford & Sons song...
Well, if you type Mumford & Sons, you can look and see what's trending.
No, but can I do the dance to one of their songs and video me doing it and hope it gets viral?
And if it goes viral, then everyone will sample and copy your dance.
But that dance has already been done, so why are they still copying it?
No, so what he's doing is he's doing his interpretation of what the song sounds like. So it's a foreign song, so he's like talking gibberish to make it sound like the song and being silly with his dance moves.
Those dance moves that he showed me.
They're a mixture of a couple of dances. He's basically saying, I'm showing my friend how to TikTok. He's completely self-deprecating and taking the mickey out of himself to be silly, to be funny, and people picked up on it, and it's literally going crazy.
So how will this TikTok serve DNA?
I don't know. We're going to just explore. I think you just try different things, right?
And so as mind illusionists, you're going to be dancing on it, or are you going to do tricks?
Maybe.
Ooh.
See, I've just been silly. I've been doing dancing. There's
we just don't know yet.
This one you'd probably like. I did this with a friend of mine in the gym the other night.
Possibilities are endless, yeah, Andrew.
Indeed.
This was me and my friend in the gym the other night.
Okay, so... So what? Explain to everyone happening.
Okay, so she's...
That looks kind of cool, actually.
So I've got my hand on the back of her head. She's holding onto my hand, and then she leans forward all the way near to the floor, and then I pick her up as well in one motion.
And you're actually doing it. There's no trick here.
No, right? I'm actually doing it. So that was a TikTok trend, and I've just copied it.
I saw somebody do that over a swimming pool. Yeah. I was shown. My daughter showed me
that
a video.
Looks pretty cool.
It is cool, right? So that's the thing. There's loads of different content on TikTok.
I'm not letting you try that with me.
No.
Do you want me to break my nose?
Your nose will certainly hit the floor before anything else, like mine.
Well,
so let's quickly, because we're going to wrap up, but I wanted, we kind of were, I don't know, frivolous or really light on talking about someone saying horrible things on Instagram or Twitter to you guys, mm-hmm, and calling you fat, which is absolutely horrible. And I don't mean to laugh it off and think it's okay to call someone fat.
No.
But you can't look for that stuff. So, because you kind of were asking, how do I deal with it? Because I do get shade or
hate. If they at you, then you're going to see it on your timeline, right?
Yeah, but walk.
You walk away, you dismiss it. You dismiss
it, kill it with kindness, or block it.
Yeah.
Because what kind of, and I say this with the meaning it deserves, but a loser would do that. I don't mean like, you fucking loser. I mean, someone who's not winning their day will spend time to send something like that. You think Elon Musk is...
Of course.
Throwing shade? No, he's doing something good. Are you doing any of that? Are you?
Of course not.
Are you saying shit online?
Of course not.
No, because you're focusing on trying to put out good things. And so someone like that can't be happy.
No, I agree.
Someone like that's got some terrible baggage that they need to figure out how to unload in better ways. And
I think we replied to somebody once saying, you're clearly having a bad day. If you need any help, like,
just reach out to us.
Reach out to us. And,
I feel for people who take the time to say shit to me online. It doesn't hurt me creatively. It doesn't make me want to change how I work creatively. It's just like, well, if you've taken your time out of that, someone tweeted me once, you're overrated. I said, well, at least I'm rated. You know?
It shouldn't affect you.
No,
you've got to be confident in what you're doing.
But,
and,
you know, that whole sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. It's that old saying that you get brought up, learn, you know, people teach that to you as a child, but actually people's words can hurt.
Of course they can. We see it nowadays, sadly.
You are in control of that. And, you know, unfortunately, sometimes, you know, words can, you know, cause somebody to want to, you know, do the worst.
Drastic measures.
Well, here's what I do to help protect myself. I don't also seek out the positive comments. I don't seek out any comments. Because even the positive stuff, which, great, if there's support, but the positive stuff I don't think helps you as an artist either, because then you're just feeding your ego.
What about my comments?
They make me laugh.
I'm normally right on there, you're so ugly. Or like, no, I'm joking. No, I'm normally right.
I'm surprised
you had some git, or, you know.
I'm surprised you don't get some, like, because my supporters are very passionate. And I see sometimes, that's why I don't bring light to any hate either, because I feel they're going to get a barrage of, you know, people protecting me. And I'm like, it's just going to, like, brush fire going to something. Mm.
But you're right in what you just said. I mean, you can't sort of like believe your own press in a sense.
You know, people just feed your ego,
telling you you're just amazing. It's like, oh yeah, I am. And that's it. And then you just get complacent, don't you?
Yeah, you just got to focus on being better than yesterday. And if people want to follow and support, man, I'm super fortunate
that they do. Agree.
What am I looking at here, Darren?
That's my
before and afters. Oh, my God. We're going to have to post some of these up.
It's crazy, right?
8 months.
So people know what we're talking about.
How many pounds have you lost, Andrew, altogether?
76.
I've lost 52.
That's incredible. Mm. And what made you guys want to do that?
Well, for me, I finished, Darren and I were in a show. Like, we did our tour last year, and actually, my girlfriend took some pictures of me on stage, and she showed me the pictures. I was like, please don't ever post those anywhere. I look terrible. I was embarrassed for myself, how bad I looked. Mm-hmm. You know, just, my face looked huge. I had a big belly, and I just was embarrassed. We did a show, and after the show, people come up and can we have a photo and everything. And this one guy came up to both Darren and myself and said, guys, the show was great, but you haven't half put on some weight since the show. And I kind of laughed it off. And it really stuck with me. And it was after that show, I said to Darren, that really meant something. That guy, like, that's the first, it's not the first time somebody said we put on weight, far from it. But that was the first time that it really made me want to do something. And
were you mad at the person for
saying that? I wasn't mad at the person because I can't be mad because I have to, I knew I'd put on weight. And, you know, those much closer to me than that person, you know, my mum had said to me sort of like before, Andrew, like, what have you done to yourself? You've like, you've put on a lot of weight and you've continued to put on more weight. But it was that one person's comment that really made me think, you know what? I get up all the time and I'm in front of people and I want to give the best representation of myself. And probably I'm not doing that by getting on stage and looking unhealthy, feeling unhealthy. And I really need to do something about it.
He dropped a pen on the floor on stage once and he struggled to pick it up, genuinely.
Yeah, well, I was dreading bending over to pick it up because it was like, oh, you know.
Really?
Even bending down to pick up my... You think if I was 76 pounds heavier than I am now, bending down to tie my shoe was a
out of breath.
Was a struggle.
Same.
Well, look, the important thing out of this is, look, anyone pretty much of, I guess, any size can do what you're doing. It's not about necessarily image. You did not feel good about yourself, which then you're not going to present the best you. And I think that's the important thing out of this.
You're
it's
right.
not about being skinny. It's not about having a six pack. It's not about not being a certain size. It's about you feeling good about Andrew.
Absolutely. And that's what it was all down to. I wanted to feel good about myself. And I also knew that, you know, I've said to Darren before, if I wouldn't have done what I did at the time I did it and I carried on, I may be facing serious health implications now. Okay. Because it was only going downward. I was on a downward spiral health-wise. Well, and I didn't have any health scares at that point, but, you know.
Happy Friday, everyone.
It doesn't.
It's just going out on a Friday.
I don't know.
It's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday.
Well, look, what's great and what's amazing that's come out of this is you feel good about yourself. And that's important. The parameters of that, of being happy in oneself.
That's the most important thing.
I think it's a wide parameter and it's down to each person. If you want a six pack and you want, and that's what you want, then have at it. If you don't want that, then that's fine.
Yeah, I'm not sitting here saying everybody needs to be slim or go to the gym or do whatever. Be happy in yourself. And it was just, you know, it was, for me, that was really the trigger. I knew that I'd let myself become grossly overweight and I wasn't happy with that. And, I decided to do something about it.
Well,
and I didn't do it. It wasn't a song and dance. Hey, guess what, everybody? Look at me. I've now lost 7 pounds. I've now lost 21 pounds. Mm-hmm. This is the first time I've ever spoken about it. I've never put any pictures of myself before and after online. I just haven't because this is just for me and that's it.
Whereas I carried on eating for about 4 months after that, gorging on desserts and cookies. But again, everyone reaches
But you weren't happy and I knew
I
that
was
about
so
you.
Miserable. I was so miserable, man.
So that was an escape.
It was an escape, yeah. You know, it took me to get to a stage in my life where, you know, I met someone that finally made me feel like, hey, you know what, you're great as you are and you're perfect. And it just allowed me to kind of forgive myself. And from that point onwards, I have not eaten any chocolate or anything, no rubbish, for over 6 months now.
And that's because you wanted to feel better about you.
Yes, exactly. It wasn't because I wanted to impress anyone or anything like that. It was, you know, I was talking to Andrew, we were walking here from Soho, and I was like, I love feeling fit at the moment. I feel fit, I feel healthy, you know, I can run upstairs and I do HIIT workouts and, you know, I train all my muscle groups and, you know, I feel very, very fit at the moment and I love feeling like this. I like eating well, I like looking after myself. Looking good is kind of like a byproduct now. The lifestyle for me.
And the mental health.
And the mental health is so important.
Good for you guys, man.
At least.
So, how should fans keep in touch?
At DNA and Mind Readers.
On Twitter and Instagram.
And Instagram and Facebook, DNA Mind Readers.
No, and maybe TikTok.
Maybe
DNA
TikTok.
Mind
yeah,
Readers.
TikTok DNA Mind Readers. Unless that's taken, we'll do something else.
Why don't you sign up to it now so we can promote it?
I'll do it after. All right, Dad, leave me alone, Dad.
Yeah.
No, I'll have to come round. I'll have to come round sometime.
That's Darren 100%. Inviting himself again.
Always.
I've heard this conversation usually on a phone.
Well, because if Ramin says no, I'll just ring Mandy. She'll say exactly. Yes.
First of all, I've never said no. Yeah. It's just I don't answer the phone.
Exactly.
You know, you see those things on Facebook. It's like tag a friend that if you phone them and they answer, you'll die. I would tag Ramin all day, every day, from now to the end of time.
Oh, dear.
Okay, so Instagram, Twitter, at DNA.
Mind readers.
Mind readers.
Yeah, I think people want a lot. I think with everything that's going on in the world at the moment, I think people like need like levity in their life and just kind of...
joy. We need joy.
Yeah. So, you know, where it's, hey, think of somebody and reveal what it is. Although that's really impressive and people love it, I think more than ever, I think we're going to maybe venture more into our actual personalities of how we are with our friends and family. And hopefully people like it and we'll go from there. And if they want to come see us live.
Yeah, see a different side to us. Not just the mind reading. The mind reading we do anyway. But maybe show them a little bit more of ourselves.
I think your personalities match your talent as illusionists and mind illusionists. So they both should be on show.
Great.
Well, if we ever have a podcast, will you come on?
Yes, sir.
He's going to edit that bit out.
I'm hardly going to touch any of this. Love you guys.
Love you, man. Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, DNA really Mind Readers.
Yep.
Get some content out there. You guys are brilliant. People Thank need
you.
To see it.
Thank you. Thank you. We will.
Love you guys.
Love you, man.
Love you too.
Thanks for hanging, folks, with Andrew and Darren, DNA, and myself. Please do check them out on their socials, DNA Mind Readers, and also their website, dnaofficial.com. And keep up to date with what they're up to. You will definitely want to see them live. Take care.
The Hang is produced by Dory Beristein and Alan Seals from the Broadway Podcast Network. You can find me online at bpn.fm/The Hang. Don't forget, you can connect with me on Instagram and Twitter at Ramin Karimloo, on YouTube, A Roaming Iranian, or my Facebook page, Official Ramin Karimloo. Music for my podcast is by my friends and one of my favorite bands, The Dives. Please check them out at their website, thedivesmusic.com. That's thedivesmusic.com, where you can get to know them, hear their incredible music, get links to all their socials, and most importantly, their tour dates, where you can find out where you can see and hear them live. They are truly a great band, and they are phenomenal live. Check them out.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com and, of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.